We are in the season of Epiphany, which lasts until February 26th, when Lent will begin. And it's about Christ being made manifest, being revealed to the world this season. The scripture readings and the events of our Lord's life for the start of his ministry feature prominently during the season of Epiphany. We begin this time with the feast of the baptism of the Lord. The feast when John the Baptist baptizes Jesus. The heavens open and John sees the Spirit of God descend on Jesus like a dove, and God declares, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." This indeed is a fitting feast for us to celebrate our own baptism and to baptize new people into the faith. The first baptism of 2020 will formally bring Grayson Nicholas Gengenbach into the body of Christ and the faith of the church. Our readings today communicate the message of God's choosing his elect in every generation and our ongoing responsibility to live into that calling. In our reading from the book of Isaiah, it begins, "Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights." Chosenness often has been long understood by many of the world's religions as meaning entitlement or special or better than. And this attitude has resulted in all kinds of terrible things, discrimination and prejudice, violence and terror for many throughout the history of the world. And we see it alive and well today throughout the world and even into our own society. We see prejudice and misunderstanding not only exist, but promoted in certain sectors of our culture. It is why there has been a 40% increase in anti-Semitic crimes from 609 in 2014 to 835 in 2018. It's also why this afternoon our parish, along with others in Hebron, are sponsoring an event at 2 o'clock at the Gilead Church for a dialogue between Jewish, Muslim, and Christian leaders. However, today the prophet Isaiah offers us another vision of chosenness. What would it mean if all of us, instead of looking at chosenness as being better than or above others, we took it to mean belovedness? Such a theology offers rich possibilities and takes the emphasis away from the supposed qualities of those who are chosen as better and emphasizes instead the gracious gift of God's love itself. The idea of chosenness raises serious questions of who is left out, and choice is who is left out of love. Why is this important? This is so important now that we stand as witnesses against such practices. The Isaiah passage adds an important criterion. The bringing of justice, as Isaiah says, leads us to claim that if we love, we must make justice. Feeling loved ourselves leads to more self-esteem and consequently to a better ability to act justly and to extend love beyond the confines of a chosen few. Claiming our belovedness by God has the possibility of empowering us to extend love to ourselves, to others, and thereby to more fully love God. Like Grayson, who we will baptize shortly, in his brief life he has already felt and known love. First, he has been loved into being by God who created him and us in love to be love for others. He has known the love of parents and families, the love of friends and neighbors who create a village in which Grayson, like all of us, developed and learned to share love. Through this early story of love and guidance, God has now claimed him and us as beloved children chosen by God. God's love of Grayson and each of us is unconditional and not predicated whether we are even baptized or not. So why do we baptize, and what do we profess takes place in the sacrament of baptism? The Catechism teaches us that sacraments are outward and visible signs of inward and spiritual grace, given by Christ as sure and certain means by which we are to receive grace. I remember that going back to my Baltimore Catechism, if you remember that, for those who are maybe Roman Catholic. Baptism, then, is a sacrament by which God adopts us as his children and makes us members of Christ's body, the church, and inheritors of the kingdom of God. While God's love is unconditional, baptism is about joining the family of believers and being initiated into the body of Christ. It is why in services with baptisms we take the time to renew our own baptismal vows. It's not only for the one being baptized, but it's to remind us and help us reclaim the fundamental calling we have as beloved of God. What is an inward and spiritual grace that comes with baptism? We believe that the inward spiritual grace in baptism is union with Christ in his death and resurrection, birth into God's family, the church, for forgiveness of sin and a new life in the Holy Spirit. So we gather today for the baptism of grace and on the feast of the baptism of our Lord Jesus, because first and foremost, he has experienced the love of God through those who care for him and love him. In spite of difficult times that will come in life, the love of God will come through him as it does through us. Grayson already knows and has been loved and continues to be loved. He will come to know that he has experienced love in this place and chosen by baptism into Christ's family in this very community of St. Peter's. He will learn here to extend the love he has experienced by others. He will learn to accept people where they are, just as they are, with their differences, with their faults and weaknesses, as well as their unique and beautiful gifts. This day, the feast of the baptism of the Lord, the Holy Spirit descends upon Grayson, and God says to him, as he says to each of us, "You are my daughter, you are my son, my beloved, whom I am well pleased." Our task in this life is to strive to live our lives as though we believe this is true, that we really are the beloved of God, and in doing so, to extend that love and justice to others each and every day.